We'll begin today with that situation at Holyhead Port, which has been across most, if not all, of the newspapers this morning. The port has been closed for a full week now due to damage caused by Storm Dara. And for the past few days, we've been hearing about the impact to deliveries and on post operations as a result of the closure, as well as disruption to ferry services for passengers. Now, there had been hopes that the port would reopen next Thursday, but Minister James Lawless, who's sitting across from me here, told the 6-1 News last night that he wasn't optimistic about that. Some ferry companies, James Lawless, saying Friday the 20th. Would you have any hope at all it'll be open this side of Christmas?
Look, I think that the best thing to do in a crisis or in a challenging situation is hope for the best, but plan for the worst. I think we'd be remiss of me and of any of the actors, including the private sector and the ferry companies and everybody else, to work along a belief that everything would be fine, everything would be all right on the night, next Thursday or next Friday even. The experience last week, the damage was done on Friday nights with Storm Dara into Saturday morning, and the initial estimates coming out of Holyhead were, look, we'll be okay in 24 hours. And that became 48 hours, that became 72 hours. And on Wednesday, I said, look, what's really going on here? And at that stage, they said, we'll have it open on Friday. Friday's come and gone, and their latest estimate now is a week away. The jetty, there's two jetties, there's two berths, one either side, so they can take two very large vessels at a time. The damage was done to one pillar, it's called a dolphin, on one edge of one jetty. So there are questions being asked, well, why is the other jetty closed? You know, the damage, it would be expected, would be, I suppose, localised to that particular site. So there are undercover, underwater crews investigating it. But I think really we need to, I suppose, in a way, park that and say, look, if that comes good, great, but we really need to focus in the intervening time, and we are already and have been since Wednesday, on other routes. So Rosslare to Pembroke, Rosslare to Fishguard, Dublin to Liverpool, Dublin to Birkenhead, and there's other routes as well. So
I see there's a haulier, Darren Murphy, he's Managing Director of BM Transport, quoted in today's Daily Mail. They're based in County Monaghan. He says he has 90 trucks stalled in Holyhead. He says he's got drivers in Liverpool who have been waiting for 14 hours, and at Cairn Ryan there's a 15-hour delay. So even with those contingency plans in place, there are still delays, and I think the problem to some degree is the customs operations that can be operated at those ports. So I suppose the question is, realistically, in your role, what can you do and what are you doing?
So I suppose it is important to say there's a limit to what I can do, and it's really one of those soft power exercises as opposed to hard power. I don't have any instrument I can sign, although I did sign one this morning, as it happens, a statutory instrument to give a derogation on driver hours for the next 14 days, so that might give some leeway to the industry. But there's a limit to what I can do. But what I can do and what I'm doing every day, including today and including tomorrow, I'll be putting a team together in the department again tomorrow morning, and have done every day since this emerged, is I can engage with counterparts. So, for example, the Welsh Transport Minister, Ken Skates, I'm working with, the ferry companies. I'm meeting with Stena and Irish Ferries on Monday.
Just on that point, on dealing with your Welsh counterpart, you were slightly... if sceptical or certainly curious about whether or not both berths need to be closed in Holyhead, is it your belief that the port shouldn't be fully closed?
So it's been very difficult to get hard facts out of Holyhead. And when I say Holyhead, I suppose I really mean Stena Line. Stena Line are the owners of Holyhead. And I think it would be really important at this critical juncture that we would get solid, accurate, reliable information as to what exactly is the issue, how long is it going to take to repair. Is it actually storm damage? Is it something else? Did the divers find some other issue when they went down? Why are both berths now closed as opposed to one and one corner of one, in actual fact?
So how soon do you expect to get answers to that directly from the ferry companies or the port authorities?
I'm meeting the ferry companies at Monday lunchtime, and I will be putting that question directly to Stena. I've already put it to them, but I'll be putting it to their CEO on Monday lunchtime. It's a Swedish company, but they're coming, whether it's Teams or Zoom or whatever else, we're coming around the table. But I'm also asking my Welsh counterpart, who has responsibility at a political level for Holyhead, I suppose, to work with me on sort of getting those answers and getting that information from the ground. But in the meantime, I do think it's really important. That's why I shifted the I suppose, approach on as soon as this became clear, to looking at alternatives. Because I think if we put all our eggs in the basket of Holyhead coming back on stream, and if that didn't happen, that's not a position we want to be in. So that's why we're really shifting gear. And in terms of those trucks stuck in Cairn Ryan and in Larne and in Liverpool, the issue there is that we have accompanied loads and unaccompanied loads. Effectively what that means is some trucks come with a cab and a driver, and they drive right onto the ship themselves and drive right off on the far side. Others are sort of brought to the port, and then a pilot a shunter takes them onto the vessel. So it takes a little bit longer, but that's a model often used in the industry because your driver hours are much less if it's an unaccompanied. The ferries were taking those on in the last couple of days because it takes a bit longer. Now that we've cleared the backlog of accompanied trucks, the Ro-Ro, we need to move to the next batch. So again, that's the kind of thing I'll be saying to the ferries on Monday. So look, this is, you know, we've a priority order to work through.
What about passengers who are using a combination of walk-on and public transport or are either bringing their own vehicles home? What's your understanding of where they are? I suppose, are existing bookings going to be disrupted at all? And is there additional capacity to take further bookings?
Yeah, so I suppose, yes, possibly to all of those. So first, starting with the people that come over. So typically 33,000 vehicles would come across from Holyhead to Dublin in the Christmas period. It's about 100,000 passengers. About over half of them would come by car, but some would come on foot. So they, again, I suppose the car travellers can go down to the sort of Pembroke, Fishguards, Drogheda routes. People, though, travelling on foot, the traditional, someone who gets a train from London maybe to Holyhead and comes over and then gets a train from Dublin onwards. And I've said it to the NTA on this side of the Irish Sea, and I've said it to my Welsh counterparts on the other side. We need to make sure that sufficient public transport is in place. So if your typical foot passenger is trying to make that journey next week, that there will be a bus, if there's not a train into Fishguard, for example, that there, you know, I think there is, but it stops short of the port, that there will be shuttle bus service put in place to carry the people across. And I've been talking to Rosslare and Glenn Carnot, the team there, and actually CIE managed Rosslare Europort, and they've been very helpfully engaged in that. And Jim Mead, the CEO there, have been talking to all those over the last couple of days. They're putting in place measures to make sure that we have public transport on this side. Some are getting off at Rosslare, who would be used to getting off at Dublin, won't be left waiting for a bus or a train, that they'll actually have something there to meet them. And so I suppose I'm trying to collaborate with my colleagues the other side of the Irish Sea to make sure that happens at both ends.
Okay. Rose Conway Walsh, what are your concerns about this disruption?
Well, I think it really needs to be escalated at this stage because people are waiting for timely and updated information on it. Both the 100,000 passengers there, but also we have in some of those parcels and some of that freight medicine that's urgently needed as well. So I think it needs to be escalated both with the British government and with the interim Irish government here so that action is taken and the people have timely information. And it, like, we want to know what does planning look like for people. So people are trying to plan for Christmas. Are they going to book another flight? Who's going to pay for that flight? Are people going to be fleeced because you have the supply and demand issue there as well? So there's still too many questions there. It seems like that there's things happening, but the outcomes to what is happening aren't clear at all.
Do you mean people whose ferry journey has been has been disrupted?
Yes.
Are the ferry companies, is it going to pay for the flights if they have to rebook?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Who is going to pay for them? Is there insurance involved there? Maybe the minister can answer that. So people who have already booked, are they covered by insurance for alternative transport as well as when actually, I mean, there should be more information on when the repairs are going to be done. It's not good enough saying it's going to be Thursday, then it might be Friday, then it mightn't be at all. I really just think that it needs to be escalated at this stage so that people have clarity around it.
I want to go to John Paul. I'll come back, James Lawless, to you if you want to answer any or all of that, but I just want to go to John Paul O'Shea in our Cork studio. John Paul O'Shea, any view on how this should be dealt with?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very important column, I suppose, that we continue to actively engage with all the stakeholders that are involved. Lots of challenges with freight and passenger travel to and from Holyhead at the moment. And, it is important to acknowledge, I suppose, that additional capacity is being provided from Rosslare. Here in Cork, while the Port of Cork currently does not have any direct UK sailings, it has indicated that it has some capacity to operate one sailing a day, possibly two. So maybe the minister could have a look at that.
This is the revival of the Cork-Swansea route, is it?
Yes. So, it's important, I suppose, that we don't have any direct UK sailings, but the port has indicated it has some capacity to deliver one sailing a day, possibly two. So, it's important, I suppose, that we try and do everything possible to try and get the freight and passenger travel moving between now and Christmas in Holyhead.
Okay. James Lawless, do you want to address any of those points before we...
Yeah, just briefly. Yeah, no, look, absolutely. So I suppose there are some of the points. You know, the Irish state doesn't control any ferries. We don't have any ships that we can deploy. It's a private sector operation. But I suppose that's why I'm meeting the CEOs of Irish Ferries and Stena at 1 o'clock on Monday. And I agree with Rose, it's absolutely critical that we are absolutely clear and transparent with people. And that's why I didn't accept the estimates that I was being provided with earlier in the week. And I said, look, I don't think these actually we can stand over these in terms of the information we were getting from Holyhead and Stena. And I challenged back on that. And I've taken the decision to say, actually, three, we need to work around those and go further. Just in terms of the airlines, I did check in yesterday, there are up to 4,000 potential additional slots available for air traffic into Dublin next week and over Christmas if they are needed. That's the space that's there, and of course the other regional airports, so Shannon, Cork, Knock, etc., are all, you know, good to go as well. So there are alternative routes, but I suppose we're focusing on people that, and then the question about if somebody has booked a ticket on a sailing, say for next Thursday, and they're taking it in good faith that it will reopen. The point I've been making to the CEO was on Monday is they need to show flexibility, and if they're not in a position to honour those contracts, they need to be able to either do a refund or do flexibility or let people rebook. But we don't want to have people in a situation where they've paid good money for a ticket and then stuck at the far side.
Finally, and very briefly, just that point that John Paul O'Shea raised about the direct link, the now defunct link between Cork and Swansea. Is that something you'd be raising with the ferry companies?
To an extent. Look, I have been speaking to Cork as recently, you know, this morning and yesterday. I speak to them all the time, the Port of Cork. It's just the geography makes it harder. It put simply, it's too far. They're too far apart. So you're sailing from Holyhead to Dublin is maybe 3.5 hours. If you go down to Pembroke to Fishguard, you go up to 7 hours. If you're going Cork to Swansea, I think it could be close to 10 hours. So there's the practicalities of it. Absolutely, we will accept and explore all help and all avenues. But there's actually enough provision. So the Stena have sent in the Vigna, which is a Swedish ship. Irish Ferries have put on the WB Yeats, which is a vessel double in size. We have the Isle of Inish Free out there, underused at the moment, that can be put to work. So we can start turning those ships around and faster turnarounds as well. So I'm not, you know, I'm certainly not refusing the offer, and we'll continue to work with Cork, but a longer sailing time doesn't necessarily help at the moment.
Okay.
I think it's important to have an all-island approach to this as well, and using Belfast as well if that's needed. I don't know.
Absolutely, no, it is being used. No, Belfast, Cairn Ryan is up and running. Absolutely, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute looking at government formation.
Saturday with Conor Mo Mungon on RTE Radio 1.